Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Sunday School today. I trust you've had a great week. It's been a pretty week. And, you know, talking about these people that's sick, we certainly need to pray for them. Did Brother Joe go home? Is he home? Yeah, he is. Good. Okay. A lot of people in our church have been sick, and we sure want to pray for them. And, you know, apart from the grace of God, it could be me. It could be you. And but we need to continue to pray for these dear people. One day God's going to take us all home, and we'll all go up together one day, I hope, very soon. The Lord's going to come and remove us from this world and give us a great place to live with Him throughout eternity, and I'm longing for that time, that day, I really am. Thank you for visiting with us today, those that are visiting, and I trust again that God will bless us together. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. We've been teaching the book of Jonah now for over 2 months. This is our last month, September. We're going to try to finish it, Lord willing. Brother Brian will be back up here in October for the rest of the year. But we have themed the book of Jonah, the failure of success. The failure of success. And as we've looked at Jonah and his life, we see his story begins with him succeeding at failure. He succeeds at failure. He does that by, first of all, rejecting God's call in chapter 1. He rejected the call of God for his life. Number 2, we see that he succeeded at failure because he disobeyed God's command. God's command was plain. They were simple to him, but he disobeyed them. He did not go where God wanted him to go or told him to go. We also see he succeeded at failure because he ignored God's will. God's will is not important. I'll do what I want to do. I've said before, God's will for my life and your life is the most important thing in our lives. Because we're His children, we're saved. And God wants to use us somehow in His plan, in His purpose. We see that Jonah worshiped, literally, himself. Jonah chose to die, if he could, rather than obey God or let God guide him in his life. This was his attitude at this time. But we see the grace of God. We see the mercy of God working in Jonah. He works in him. He chastises him or corrects him. He pursues him as his servant to do what he wants him to do finally. And this is the grace of God that we see working in his life. And now we see Jonah in the end of chapter 2. We look at this and we see Jonah, who succeeded very well at spiritual failure. Now God has given him a second chance. He's given him a second chance. We see Jonah in chapter 1, a man running from God. And we see God's patience working in his life. God is being very patient with him. In chapter 2, we see Jonah as he's running back to God. And we see God's pardon, God's forgiveness as he comes back to God. We see the mercy, the grace of God in this man's life. And I'm sure all of us can identify the mercy and grace of God in our lives as we have lived this long, we're living even today. Now we moved into chapter number 3 today. And as we look at chapter number 3, we find here again, we're going to see a man running with God. A man running with God. We're going to see God's power. God's power. The power of God. You know, it always amazes me the power of God. We see here in this chapter something that's really tremendous to me, how God can go beyond us and do His will, accomplish His purpose, regardless of us, no matter who we are and what we are. In chapter 3, we find the key word is great. It's great. G-R-E-A-T. It's great. It's mentioned many, many times. Talks about the great city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a great city. It was a huge place. It was about 60 miles across. The population was over 600,000 plus. I mean, it was a metropolis place in its day and in its time. We see they had great walls and great towers. It had over 1,200 towers, and they were over 200 feet tall. Tremendous place. The walls around that city, was 100 foot high, and three chariots could go side by side on that wall all the way around that place. It was a tremendous place. And even on that wall, we're told that they grew enough corn to feed that whole area, 600,000 plus people. I mean, Nineveh is a big place, folks. It's a tremendous place. That's why we use the word great. God uses the word great so many times. We see it was the very center of the rising empire of Assyria, Nineveh was. We also see and understand that Nineveh was a sinful city. You know, we said weeks ago how city and sin go together. We will see that the people of Nineveh had no pity for their enemies. They would do anything to get rid of them. We talked about that again earlier. The violence in that city was the chief sin. They were a very violent people. They were very violent in their lives. So we see here, as we open up in chapter 3, we see what's taking place here. And we see there's a great city. There's a great city here. And we're about to get into it and see what God's doing too. You know, the failure of success. Someone said that success is the only thing, success itself, can be accomplished. Let me get right here. Let me read my notes. I got it wrote down somewhere. Success is the only place you can find success without work is in the dictionary. And that's true. Success involves work. It involves labor. It really does. Someone said the only thing about the rules of success is, the only disadvantage of the rules of success is they won't work unless you work. And that's true. The failure to success, we've seen it in evidence all in our own lives, I'm sure, what we're talking about here. But we see here in chapter number 3 now, as we get into the book of Jonah, we see this is an indication of what God is doing in the life of Jonah here. We see here that God gave Jonah a great commission to preach. He gave him a great commission to preach, and he tells him what to preach, okay? And he's going to preach it to the Gentiles, to prevent them, that they might escape the wrath of God. We also see that God performs a great change in this city, in the people and the lives of these people. He does that. There are expressions of fear. There's also expressions of forgiveness. As we get into this chapter, we'll see. And there's a reason for that. Two things contribute to this, their fear and their forgiveness, their repentance. Number one is Jonah's message, the message that God gave him. We're going to look at it, his message. And the other thing was the miracle of Jonah's deliverance. They knew about him. They knew this was that the Ninevites knew that Jonah was a man who had passed through death and now was alive. They knew that. Therefore, they took heed to what he said. You know, I think we would too if we knew somebody here today come up here and spoke to us that had died and was now alive. I think he would kind of get our attention, don't you? I think he would. And here we find these Ninevites, that's the way they looked at Jonah because of what had taken place in his life, you see. This shows what God can do. This chapter shows us what God can do with a frail instrument such as Jonah and I, if they are willing to preach the gospel, preach the word of God. So we find here this to be true. Now, Jesus used Nineveh in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 41. We've been over this, but if you want to turn there, you can. But Jesus, we find, uses Nineveh to illustrate Jonah, to illustrate this point. We see that Jesus preached 3 years and reinforced his message with miracles. Yet what happened? They would not repent and believe. They would not listen to him, even though he performed miracles. He did many things in their eyes. But the Ninevites, they heard one sermon from one preacher, which emphasizes wrath and not love, and they repented and were forgiven. You know, we hear so much today about we ought to preach on love, we ought to teach on love. We should. But we don't need to avoid the wrath of God either. Because wrath of God is going to be bad. It's going to really be bad. It really will. So we see here, the Jews heard the Son of God for 3 years about God's forgiveness. But what they did, they refused to repent also. They refused to repent. So we see here now, in this passage of Scripture, the scribes and the Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign. They were looking for a display of power from heaven. But Jesus refused to do that. He refused to do that. He told them the only sign will be given is that of Jonah. That's the sign. Not of heaven, but beneath the surface of the earth will the sign come. And we see here, as Jonah suffered humiliation for his sins, we see that Jesus himself would suffer humiliation for the sins he bore for you and I. As we conclude in chapter number 2, we find Jonah escaping from the fish is a type of Christ rising from the dead. Rising from the dead. Now, in chapter 3, we look at this today and we see here what he's saying. First of all, there's three things mentioned we're going to talk about in chapter number 3. First of all, we're going to talk about Jonah's commission. Jonah's commission. Number 2, we're going to talk about Nineveh's confession as a city, as a town, as a city, I should say. And then we're going to talk about God's compassion. God's compassion. And tie all this together, we're going to see God's power. God's power, the power of God. Now, let's look in verse number 1 of chapter number 3. We see the Lord of Israel here has won the battle. And now, however, the war is not yet over. He's won the battle where Jonah is now, but the battle is not over. There's always a battle, isn't there? Always a battle going on with us in this world in which we live. But let's look in verse number 1 of chapter number 3. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you now for this time you've given us, Lord, to open your word to read it. And I pray, dear God, now the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher, Lord, as we try to enforce, Lord, and look at the Word of God and look at what you've done and what you're doing in the life of Jonah, in the lives of these people, Lord, that you have commissioned him to go to speak to and to preach to. Dear God, I pray, Lord, it would be applicable to us today in our own lives, as God, that we might see the need for us to do what we should do, obey your will, listen to your voice and call, and Lord, not to ignore your will for our lives. So God, we now commit, Lord, this time to you. We thank you, everyone, this year. And we pray now the Spirit of God will lead us and guide us and teach us what you would have us to know today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, in chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, notice the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Notice here, first of all, we see a second chance. A second chance. We see the first call. Remember the first call over in chapter 1? Turn back there. Chapter 1, look at verse 2. The first time God called Nineveh, told Jonah. He says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and what? Cry against. Cry against. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh and cry against them. Now, that's a general call. Okay, a general call. Go to the city and cry against them. He said, you go there. That's a general call. But over here in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, arise, verse number 2, chapter 3, verse 2, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and what? Preach. He's being specific now with Jonah. He said, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. See, he's giving him a specific message to preach now. It's not just cry against them, but be specific with them. So we see here the first call was general. The second call was more specific. Now, a second chance for service is not unheard of. Look at Moses. Look at Peter. But a second call is never guaranteed in a person's life, you know. God could have called another man and said, Noah, said, Jonah, away with you. But he gave him a second chance. He gave him a second chance, and we'll see why later on. But God could have called a second man. So first of all, we see the second chance in verses 1 and 2 here. Now, let's look at verse 3 and 4. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city. He describes it as an exceeding great city. Not just a great city, but an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. In other words, it's 60 miles across. You travel 20 miles a day, it takes you 3 days to go across that place. It's a big city, a big place, you see. So we see here, Nineveh was great in size. It was great in wealth. It was great in significance. It was a great place as far as the Bible speaks here about. So now, it was also great in sin. We saw in chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says they were sinful. They were sinful. So we see it was great in many different ways here. But we also see right here now, in this passage of Scripture, this is why Jonah was to be there. This is why he was to be there, because they were sinful people. They needed to repent. And God had the message for Jonah to preach to them that they would repent. That they would repent. See, God's man. God has always had a man for people. He's always had a man to proclaim his word. He will until Jesus comes. He will until Jesus comes. And we see that this time it was Jonah. It was Jonah, you see. So what happens? He begins his journey. Verse number 4 says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He went one third of the way, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So we see here now, as he enters this great city, he begins his 3-day journey and to declare God's warning to the people. Now, we have to remember this. Where did Jonah just come from? Huh? Out of a fish. Now, when we consider the fact that Jonah came out of a fish, he hits the land and he begins to go where God wants him to go. There are some factors here that we need to consider of where he come from. Not only where he's going, but where he come from. Can you imagine being in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights? What takes place and all the gastric fluids and all that's in that belly of that fish, how that affects that body? I'm talking about it not only physically, but outside. You know, the physical appearance and all that, you know, that takes place and has taken place in him now. What he looks like, what he appears to be like. We see here that his message and also his appearance is very important here. It goes together. It goes together. We'll see this. We see here that his appearance, a man who had passed through death and now is alive, what does he look like? What does he smell like, if you please, because of where he's been? No doubt the gases in this belly of this whale, no doubt it has bleached his skin. He didn't look like he did before he went in. He probably had no hair. We don't know what he looked like, but we know one thing. He didn't look like he did when he went in the fish. He looked entirely different, you see. And we see here, this is a thing that he has to deal with here as he goes into this. And we're going to see how the people responded to him, why they responded to him, you know. Because the sight, no doubt, and the smell would have called the people to take heed. Don't you think so? The sight of him and also the smell of him would have caused the people to take heed to him as he spoke and as he went into that city. He was a sight unseen, so to speak, you know, and a voice unheard as far as they've ever heard before. So we see the second message here. But now notice again, in verse number 4, the last part of that verse, he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be what? Overthrown. That's the message that Jonah is proclaiming to these people. 40 days and this city is going to be overthrown. That literally means it's going to be completely destroyed from foundation up. It's going to be demolished in 40 days unless you repent. This is the message. This is what he said. This is a message with eight words. An eight-word message. And we're going to notice how the people responded to this message. You see, Nineveh would be overthrown. Undoubtedly, Jonah preached more than these specific words, no doubt about that. But this was the main emphasis that he preached. That in 40 days, God's going to destroy you if you do not repent. If you do not repent. We see as warnings, his message goes short and to the point. He did not have to preach an hour. His message was brief because of the message. Because you're just going to be, this city's going to be destroyed if you don't repent. You don't repent. And we see here because of that, we see sometimes messages of judgment that are brought are often marked by such directness. In other words, a message like this has to be directed. It has to be to the point, so to speak. So people will get the message, you know. Sometimes people have to be to the point to us, don't they? That we'll get the message. Well, this was Jonah. The message that God gave him was to the point to these people that they might take heed to what he's trying to say to them, what he's trying to proclaim to them, you see, at this time. So we see here that, look at, you remember Nathan? When he said to David in 2 Samuel, "You're the man. You're the man. You're guilty, David. David, the Lord said to you, the Ephesian church, repent and do the first works." I mean, these are messages that are to the point. And likewise, we see the message of Jonah was like that too. So we find here this was God's judgment that he's bringing out to these people. God's judgment is upon you if you do not repent. If you do not repent. So we've seen the second chance. We've seen the message. We have seen God's judgment. And now let's look a little further here to see what's going to take place, you see. The Lord said to this church in Ephesians, repent and do the first works. Now, look at God's mercy. He says, yet 40 days. God is instituting a time period. You got Nineveh, you have got 40 days to repent. Unless you do, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed. You know, God is saying to us, and God is saying to America today, Jesus is coming again. He's not saying 40 days, but he's saying Jesus is coming again. And the sad thing is, the world today is not taking heed to that word. They don't believe it. I wonder sometimes if we even as Christians believe it. Are we living like we believe it, that Jesus is coming again? Jesus is not coming to destroy the world. He's coming to rapture the church, first of all. Thank God for that. But we see here, we see God's mercy. And we find this is the key for where it speaks of God's mercy, the message. Yet 40 days. This is the message he has here for them. If there had been no opportunity for repentance, no deadline would have been needed. But there was a deadline needed. And God gave that deadline will be 40 days. 40 days you got to repent. 40 days. 40 days. You know, that's a very, 40 is a number that's used frequently in the Bible, is it not? You remember the flood? When it rained? How many days did it rain? 40 days. It rained 40 days when it rained for the flood. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai. He spent 40 days there. We see the 12 spies that searched out Palestine, they were there 40 days searching the land to see what it's like. We also see that Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And we see also that there are 40 days between the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ. So 40 is a very significant number in the Bible. Now here we see God's mercy. Nineveh, you got 40 days. You got 40 days to repent. And that's the limit. That's the limit here. Now, let's notice also, God gave them a special amount of time to repent. You know, I believe anytime a person comes to Sunday school, comes to church, and they sit under the sound of the gospel, That's their time to take heed to the Word of God. That's their time. They may never come back. They may never have a desire to come back. But there's one chance. You know, and that's the way we should look at it when we go out visiting, folks. When we go to that person and knock on that door, if God enables us for a person to come to that door and speak to us, may God input in our minds and our hearts, this may be the first time and this may be the last time that you ever see this person again. Tell them about Jesus by His love. Give them a chance to be saved, folks, because this may be the only opportunity they have. I don't know what you're finding. I'm finding a lot of people, as you go visit, they're not in church. They're not in church. You ask them where to go, they don't even know the name of the church. They don't know the pastor's name. They just say, I go to church. Right. You know, it's sad. But that's the way it is. People don't have a desire to go to church no more. They don't think they need to go to church no more. They don't need God, you know. And that's, you know, that's, this city here, Nineveh, was a wicked city. And they needed God. And God, through His mercy, sent a man of His choice to go and to preach the message to them. We see God's mercy there. See, it was the Word of God given that would bring their repentance about. It wasn't about Jonah. It was about the Word of God that he preached to the people through the power of God. That's what stirred the people. That's what caused the people to fear and caused the people to repent. Yes, they did know that he had died and he was alive now. All that, they knew where he'd been and all that, but that was something that was a key factor, yes, but it was the Word of God that did the work through the Spirit of God. You know, I'm so thankful today. We still have the Word of God. We still have the Spirit of God that will work in the hearts of us that know Christ and those that don't know Christ if we will present the Word of God. I'm so glad we have the opportunity to. I really am. Yes, the people of Nineveh were about to honor God. They were about to surrender to God. But you know what? Jonah is still not ready for that. He's not ready for that. You know why? Jonah did not like the people of Nineveh, did he? He repented to God about running from God and all that, but still down in his heart, you know, there's always a place in our heart that sometimes we won't admit to God, we won't get it out. That sin, that secret sin in our heart sometimes that we need to get out. Well, Jonah's like that now. He has something against these Ninevites. They're his enemies. They're his enemies. We see here one sin here that Jonah has, and that is the sin of prejudice. He's prejudiced. He thinks only the Jews can be saved. Folks, we don't need to be prejudiced. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here is something that's about to happen, and Jonah is not ready for it. He's not ready for it. We see behind and underneath Jonah his external obedience. His inside rebellion remains. He's still rebelling against those people. He's still not settled the fact that God loves these people at Nineveh and God wants them to be saved. He hasn't settled in his heart, you see. So we see the commission of Jonah here. How God has a second time spoke to him, directed him, this time being specific, giving him a message to go and to proclaim to these people at Nineveh. Because they're desperately wicked, because in 40 days, God's going to destroy the city if they don't repent. If they don't repent. Notice here in verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh, what? Believe God. So the people of Nineveh believe God and proclaim the fast and put on sackcloth. Notice from who? The greatest of them, even to the least of them. From the leader all the way down. They believe God. They believe God. A simple message, a simple truth and they believe God. They believe God. Now, someone said about the message of Peter, you know, we preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were saved. See, that's tremendous. It takes Peter with one message preached and 3,000 people are saved. Today, it seems like it takes 3,000 messages for one person to be saved. What's going on? What's going on? Something's changing, ain't it? Something that has changed, you know, we should say. See, here Jonah, being commissioned by God the second time, went into this place. He preached the word that he'd given to preach, and what happened? The people believed. They believed. Oh, I would today that people would just believe. Just simply believe. Why make it so complicated? Why make it so difficult today for people to be saved? Why do people think it's so hard to be saved? We know why. Satan's got them blinded. They got blinders on. They can't see the truth. They don't want to accept the truth, you see. No matter how simple you make it, people don't want to even believe that. Preacher made a good comment, I think it was last Sunday, preaching about the death angel appearing to your door and asking you, do you have time for me? The death angel. If I was to take you right now, would you be ready? And I said that to a man this past week on visitation. He said, no. And we reminded him, if death took you, it wouldn't matter, be a matter whether you had time or not. He would just take you. He'd just take you. Not a matter of your time. When the death angel comes, we're going to go. Whether we're ready or not, it's time to go. You see, this man had been a truck driver for 20 years. He didn't have time for nothing except sports. He retired. He had a little room behind his house. He stayed back there, and his wife stayed in the house. He had a TV and all kinds of things back there. There was his little living quarters, and he had time for nobody but himself. Sad, sad situation, folks. He's a sad. That's a sad case. And it's house after house, place after place that you go to, you find that. That's not one isolated area. It's everywhere, folks. It's everywhere. This church today ought to be full of people. This church ought to be full of people. But it's not. Who's to blame? We're to blame. It's not God's fault. It's our fault, people. It's our fault. What is God trying to stir up in Jonah? Compassion. Compassion. Loving people. Not being prejudiced. And may God stir in my heart and God stir in all of our hearts this thing of compassion towards people. People need the Lord, folks. That's the message. That's what we ought to be doing, is winning people to Christ, going out on visitation. Have you visited this week? Have you called somebody? Have you invited somebody to church this week? Have we done that? Are we doing that? God help us, folks, to see it's about loving people, trying to direct people to the Lord, because people are lost. People in America is even worse than probably than people in Nineveh in that day. They really are. They're worse than that. God help me and God help us as we look at Jonah here. And we look at here the response to these people. What would the reception be? How are they going to respond to Jonah? In verse 5, he said, the people believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Would they turn against Jonah? No, they did not. They believed God. They believed God. As he cried, what happened? The people stopped. They listened. The businesses shut down. Everything stopped when Jonah came in town, so to speak. They began to listen. There was a holy hush. No doubt came upon the multitude as they gathered together to listen to him speak. Because it was God's man bringing God's message to these people. They begin weeping. And there's other signs of genuine penance of sin in their lives when the message was preached. The message entered into the king's palace and he repented. We see an entire culture here responded to to the grace and mercy of God. A tremendous response. That great city, Nineveh. How God gave them time to repent, and they repented. You know, I wonder, I know it's impossible, but I wonder today if God would come down and write in a cloud or write on a sign somehow or another to my people on October the 1st, 2013, the trumpet's going to sound, and I'm going to call y'all home to be with me. And we knew it was from God, and we knew it was true. I wonder how it would change our life from now to then. Would it? Would it change our life? Would it change what we do? Would it change where we go? Would it change what we say? How would it change? Would it change at all? Or are we just complacent? Are we just satisfied? To know I'm going to heaven, and that's all that matters. I'm on my way, so if you want to go, it's up to you to get on. That's a sorry attitude to have, ain't it? It's a sorry attitude to have. But I wonder how many of us have that attitude. Really. I want to challenge you this week. Witness to somebody. Visit somebody. You say, I don't have time to visit. You don't have time not to visit. All the time that I have, all the time that you have, God gives me and God gives you. We are to visit folks. If I'm too busy to visit, I'm too busy. I need to stop something. If I'm too busy to pick up the telephone and call somebody. If I'm too busy, when I go to the grocery store to take a tract, give somebody the gas station or wherever I go, God help me. Do you realize that the business of life is probably one of the greatest sins of Christians today? We'll allow other things to take the place of visitation and soul winning. God help us. God used Jonah. The second chance he gave him, Jonah obeyed him. He did what he asked him to do, and we see God's power working. We're going to continue next week with that chapter and see what God did for those people. You know, isn't it wonderful to see somebody get saved? Isn't it wonderful to see somebody's life change because of the Word of God and the power of God? It's wonderful to see that. I would I could see that more, don't you? I would I could experience that. I wish we could experiment that every Sunday in this church. Every church, every service we have. Someone who walked the aisle. You know, pray for a man that me and another guy had the privilege of leading to the Lord a few while back. He failed and got hurt and all this since then. And you know, he's not able to come. I want you to pray for him that God would enable him to be able to come and walk the aisle and make a public profession of faith. I mean, that's what it's all about, folks. Compassion. The Bible says some having compassion, what made a difference? Make a difference. Compassion makes a difference whenever you talk to people about the Lord. I'm learning that. I'm experiencing that the hard way. I'm learning that, though. Just like Jonah had a lot to learn, I got a lot to learn. You know, when it comes to visiting people, may the Lord help us as we continue to study next week the life of Jonah.